a manifestation happened. And it still happens today. God manifests himself to us when we're expecting him. Just like Monty brought the scripture out, the Canaanite woman, her faith. And faith is simply expectation. That's what faith really is. Anyways, so let's pray before we go on. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for what you've done up this far, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and your anointing today, Father. We thank you for your word. It goes and does what you send it to do in us and around us and for us, Father. And we praise you for that, Father God. Thank you, Lord, this morning that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive and understand. Thank you, Lord, that we will leave here changed by the power of your might and power of your word, Lord. Your Holy Spirit will manifest you to us, Father God. He reveals you to us and enlightens us concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And we praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Father God, you will help me minister. Lord, I thank you for the anointing this morning, Father God. And Lord, we will be sure to give you all of the glory for everything you do in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. If I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be Steady in the Storm. And I was reminded, I don't know, it was probably, 12, 15 years ago, the Lord had given me a sermon and I titled it Steady in the Storm. And I preached it that Sunday. And he gave me scriptures and different things. And when Monty, he talked about the storm they was in. And I thought that the confirmation of the word this morning to me, you know. And but anyways, I brought it to the church and I preached it that Sunday. And I think it was maybe Tuesday or it wasn't long after that, a hailstorm came. And we was at home and it's when it beat up Coleman and just done a lot of damage. And man, it was beating the windshields out of my trucks. And it was just tearing everything. And I'm on the back porch and it's just terrible. It's beating my roof in and big golf ball size hail, big hail, you know. And I'm on there and on the back porch and I just can't take it anymore. So I go in the house, you know, and I'm like, man, this is terrible. And, you know, this is tearing everything up like that, you know, and I'm thinking that. And then all of a sudden, to make things worse, water starts pouring down in one of the rooms and all of that. And when I'm standing there and the Lord spoke to me and he said, what did you preach Sunday? And how many knows the word is not just for me to bring to the church. The word of God is for us to hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching us and lay hold of it. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I preach steady in the storm. He said, then why are you doing that? Why are you fearful? You know, because I'm looking in the natural. That's why. Monty brought it out, you know. And instantly I knew, you know, that we're people of faith, you know. I got hold of my thoughts and quit looking at the storm coming and I began to praise him. I said, God, you always work all things according to Romans 8:28 together for the good. Then I began to praise him. I began to praise him in that storm and I realized what God was speaking to me that Sunday. I knew it already, but, you know, it's different to hear a sermon and then get in a storm and what we do in that storm. See, I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking, you know, storms are going to come. Some storms in my life, they're storms of my making. You know, you get in fear and all of that stuff, you know, or just get in the flesh. I've suffered a lot of casualties and loss in my life because of reacting the wrong way when I'm in a storm. You know, and repenting and getting back up, you know. But how many knows that God wants us steady to learn how to be steady? Learn how to be steady in the storms. Well, you know what? That storm, it left. And then, you know, I heard stories, you know, about all of my life, about the insurance companies, how they rip you off and blah, 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 you know. And I thought, the Bible tells me in Mark not to have faith in Alpha. Not to have faith in whatever your insurance company is. but to have faith in God. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm not going to go point out anything to the insurance companies. I'm having faith in you. And you know what? Time the storm got done and the insurance paid off, you know, I had more than enough left, and I got things done that I wouldn't have got done had it not been for the storm. Now, I'm not glorifying the storm. The storm was not God, you know, and it was just a storm came. But I learned something, you know, through it, and I told the Lord, I said, I'm not putting my trust in the insurance companies. I'm putting my trust in you. So when they sent out the adjuster out there, I didn't follow him around and tell him it beat the shingles off and it beat this off and that off and all of that. I yielded it to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm depending on your Holy Spirit. See, now God was wanting me steadily in faith in him in the storm so that he could do what he intended on doing. And so, you know, That adjuster, he's out there, and I told him, I said, if you need anything, let me know. And I left the adjuster alone. I stayed out of fear. I didn't believe the report that I'd heard that the insurance company's not going to pay me enough. And all of that, I cast all of those thoughts down. That's what the Bible says that argues with his word. 2 Corinthians that Monty was talking about this morning. And I cast it all down. And we were believing for a metal roof before any of this happened. And you know what? The metal roofs were higher than the shingle roofs. But we had been believing God for a metal roof. We was believing God that sometime in the future that you're going to supply and we're going to have a metal roof. And so that adjuster, he come to me and he said, what's that building up there? I said, I don't worry about that building up there. I said, that's just an old lean-to I throwed together out of used material. You know, and I don't be concerned about that. Oh, no, he said, that's on your property. We're going to take care of that, too. I said, oh, yeah? So he goes up there and he measures it off, too, out of old rusted tin and an old building that I put up there and told him. And but anyways, through that storm, God came through like John 10:10 said he would. He said, Jesus come that you might have life to the full. It says more abundant. That word more abundant means to the full, till it overflows, nothing missing, nothing broken. And so you might be in a storm. You might be going through a storm. You might have a storm coming up, you know, but God wants you to be steady, trusting in him in the storm. Hallelujah. The thief cometh not but to steal. Satan, through fear, if he can bind you up with fear, well then he can cause you to be robbed. He can cause you. I'm going to show you the scripture where God's people limited him in Psalm 78. They limited him. But I was thinking this morning, you know, when you get in a storm in your marital life. See, what Satan is depending on God's people making wrong choices in the storm. Yielding to fear. Anger is a big killer. I mean, it is destruction. Anger is a destructive force. It's not God. The Bible says the anger of man works not the righteousness of God. Nothing good comes out of anger. Nothing. Nothing good comes out of anger. God wants us to, you might be in a storm, but listen, just hang on. Don't make the wrong choices. Don't, like Monty, he was speaking the wrong thing. God, where am I going to get this? Where am I going? No, Paul said that his God, which is our God, would supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Give me that mark, Travis. This talked to Jesus and the disciples, and he had told them to pass over to the other side. And the same day when evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind. We're all familiar with this, more than likely. A great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the, talking about Jesus, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Reason why I believe he was saying that, they was with him. He was teaching them. I mean, he taught. He taught the disciples all the time. Teaching them all the time, and gave them an example what they should have did. He was at rest. Did you know Jesus knew the storm was there? He was in the same ship they were in. But see, my point is, the storm caused them to react the wrong way there. Anytime you get in fear, you know, you might go through marital storms. You know, and I've made a lot of mistakes in marriage, you know, at different times, yielding the wrong way, saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, you know. But see, Satan has to have somebody to yield the wrong way before he can bring any destruction to that situation. And so we can see here that they should have been in faith. They shouldn't have got in fear. And same as Monty was sharing that other parable with us. You know, they should have stayed there. Psalm 78, put that up there, Travis. How often this is in the wilderness when God had brought them out. See, me and you is on a journey and we're going to heaven. But Jesus said for us to occupy, do business down here. To be busy about his business down here, serving him, serving the Lord. But then he had told them, he said, I'm taking you to a promised land. This is the children of Israel. And they didn't like their circumstances. The circumstances, I'm sure, were terrible. Hot, dry, millions out there, you know, had to depend on God for water and food, had to depend on him, you know, but they didn't remember his hand, what he had said when he delivered them. He said, how often did they provoke me in the wilderness and grieve me in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted me and limited the Holy One. I read this 30 years ago, and I thought, man, they limited God. The Holy Spirit caused me to realize, quickened me to that right there, that they limited God, because I thought, God, man, they limited God. They tied his hands at what he could do. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you can too. He said, and then he reminded me of the scripture where he said that Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown. It says, because of unbelief. He couldn't do no miracle, just touched a few folk there. I mean, and he was Jesus who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and afflicted. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and afflicted. And I thought about it. I thought about, you know, whenever I could have limited God in that storm, and I was able to get a metal roof, a pump house, different things that I was believing God for. Through that storm, it turned around to my good. Hallelujah. And then, you know, about 6 or 7 years ago, I guess it's been that long, I had open heart surgery. And I had lived by faith for years before that. I had had heart attacks. I don't know how many they said I'd had. I didn't, but my arm never hurt. My heart never hurt. It was hurting in my back, you know. And I just attributed it to smoking cigarettes for a long, long time. I smoked cigarettes. So I just attributed it to that. But it wasn't. But anyways, I would draw strength from the Lord. See, faith to me is doing in the natural, in his power, what you cannot accomplish yourself. He said, I believe that's why Paul says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. In my weakness am I made strong, Paul says. Hallelujah. Well, I would get up, I would fall down and pray, and God would strengthen me. I mean, strength would come. Praise the Lord. And I went doing that years, for years. And then, anyways, I had open heart surgery with no insurance. I mean, I'm praying in tongues down all the way, the hamlets down yonder, and, you know, and all of that. And I'm thinking, man, this is terrible. I ain't no telling what this is going to cost. Bye, you know. No insurance, you know, and all that. Well, anyhow, I go through, and I went down there in faith, believing to go in, doctor's hands be on me, and the anointing and all of that, and a speedy recovery. I didn't let that rock me at all. Because I realize, and you better realize, your body is not you. You are on the inside. Your body is the vehicle that you are maneuvering around in. It's a vessel. The you is on the inside. If you don't believe it, go to a funeral. There's a body laying there. There's nothing in it when they're dead. They came out of there. The person came out. And then that body dies. Well, I realized a long time ago that I'm not what I'm looking at in the mirror. I'm on the inside. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world. If you be in Christ, are you a new creation born from above? The Bible says that we're new creations. We've never been. Well, Satan wants us to operate in that old nature, that old man, so that we remain not in the supernatural power of God. Because there's nothing too big for God. There's nothing impossible to God. And the Bible says all things are possible to them that will believe him. Hallelujah. But anyways, I go on, you know, and I'm just keeping my mind on the Lord and all of that in that storm. Hallelujah. And I came out and started getting the bills. The hospital bill was $130,000. I kept getting bills every day for a long time. I went in and I put in for assistance. And I blah, blah, blah. I went and applied there and there. And they sent me back in response every time. See, I was in this great storm. Because I was like, man, this has shattered every dream I have been dreaming of all my life. To own a home, to be debt free. And my thoughts would tell me, you will never get this paid off. $130,000 you will be paying a long time. And I would cast it down. I'd be like, nope, the Bible says he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. So I thought, you know what, praise God, I'm not defeated. God supplies all of my needs, and I'm not going to get in my mind. I'm going to do what I go to that church and tell them to do. Because if it'll work for them, and I've seen it do it, it'll work for me. And so I went on, you know, and applied, and they sent back, you know, and they said, you make too much. I sent them a letter back and I said, you're going by my gross. You're not going by after my deductions and all of that. They sent it back and denied. And Teresa, she told me about the third time we got denied about the third time. She said, just forget it. Stop fooling with them. But on the inside, I mean, knows the Bible says in Romans 8:14. It says those that are led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. See, the Holy Spirit wasn't telling me, respond to the natural and leave it, let it go in defeat. He was telling me those that are led, and I'm like, I'm not led to let it go. And so I thought, okay, there's only one thing left to do, that is call and make arrangements to pay it because I am a man of my word. And I thank God the hospital was there. I didn't leave saying, oh, they're ridiculous. It costs, their prices are ridiculous. You can get in that and limit God, according to Psalms here. Right. No, I begin to praise God. Thank you, the doctors was there to help save my life. Thank you, Lord. They had painkillers, but I didn't take them. I could have come back on painkillers, baby. I didn't take them. My doctor actually come in there and she told me, she said, I need you to take this painkiller where you can relax. I said, I'm not taking painkillers. I said, I don't need painkillers. I'm not in pain. Well, you got to take them before you get in pain. I said, I'm not going to get in pain. Jesus bore our pain. They brought the pill in there. I'm telling you this because sometimes your storms are trying to carry you the way the storm is wanting to take you. See, it was trying to carry me out of faith. It was trying to carry me out in the natural, how it feels, how my body feels. I'll be in a wheelchair, won't never be able to do this or that, you know. You hear all kinds of stuff from the enemy in the storm. That is why you got to have a sound mind. The Bible says we have it if we think like Jesus. Put on the mind of Christ. And even if you have made mistakes in the storm, you can recover all. You just repent. You just ask God to forgive you. You ask Him to move, and He will move. Your breakthrough is just right ahead. But anyways, you know, I said, I'm not taking the painkillers. The nurse would come in there. I'd say, which one's them painkillers? She'd say, there he is, Mr. Weston. I said, take them back. They brought me a pill in there, and they told me, somebody told me before I ever went and had it, they said, that pillow will be your best friend. And I looked at him and I said, I only have one best friend. And he sticks closer to me than a brother. I said, and that pillow is not going to be my comfort. I gave that pillow to my little granddaughter. It's a big heart. They said, when you cough, you're going to be in pain. I said, I'm not going to cough. I didn't take that thought saying. You hear me? I did not. I was never in pain when they had that tube in there, you know, that draining whatever it was. Every time I would breathe, it felt like it was in my lungs. And I was in pain every breath. I thought that's probably the way Jesus was. When he hung on that cross, every breath he took was painful, you know, on there. And I thought, but I'm not Jesus, man. So she come in there and she said, see, you need to take the painkiller. I said, no, you need to get the tube out. I said, I was fine for that tube. It feels like it's in my lung. Every time I breathe, I said, I'm not in pain. That's got me in pain. Well, anyways, I go on, you know, and finally they got it out. At about 3-4 hours, it was gone. And I denied the pillow. I didn't take that pillow. I believe, according to Isaiah 58, that my health would spring forth speedily in the name of Jesus, that I would heal up speedily. And I couldn't do nothing for a week, but that's about it. And I drugged myself and I went because I realized this body, even at that time, is not who I am. I am who I am by the grace of living God. And so I called up that hospital. I'm telling you, that was probably one of the greatest storms I'd ever been through, trying to stay in faith, serving Jesus Christ. Because everything looked downhill. Well, anyways, I called the hospital, and y'all know the story, but I'm telling you because you got to stay steady in the storm. It's not good to hear a testimony and then not use it in your storm. Yours might not be open heart, sir. It might be debt. It might be trouble at home. It might be trouble in business. But many, the Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, many have got angry with me in the storms and blaming me. He said, when I am their help, I am their shield, I am their very present help in time of need. He said, and the enemy will get them to get angry with me and tell you, and accuse me that I didn't show up, that I'm not this. And I, he said, tell them, don't get angry. He said, anger is your enemy, just like fear is your enemy. Well, you know, I called the hospital, and in one instant, while I was on the phone making arrangements to pay for that hospital bill, because I did get the surgery, right? And I told them, I said, I want to pay this on this. $15,000 or $17,000 was different. It was the doctor's. $130,000 was just the hospital bill. And so I'm making arrangements on the hospital bill and the doctor's. I told them, I said, I want to pay this on this per month and this on this. And at the time that's coming out of my mouth, I could not see how I was going to be able to afford that. That is why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I was telling them that because I'm a man of my word, and I was telling them that because it was the right thing to do. And God, while I was on the phone, she come back and she said, I don't know what happened. I can't hardly see or believe it, but I went and told the manager what you wanted to do, and she told me to come back and tell you, if you will pay $350 right now on this hospital bill, that they're going to cancel it. I said, by gollies, hold on a minute. Don't hang up. I'm going to get my debit card. So I come back and paid $350, and it was wiped out. $130. That storm, because I stayed steady in faith, didn't complain and gripe, I believe it, and stayed in faith, I believe that I was walking on the water. I believe you can too. God will help teach you in your storms. He will give you the Word of God, bring the Word of God to you, however, here, or you're listening, or you're praising, you're reading, you're studying, you're meditating. He will quicken it, and then it is for you to use when you get in that storm. That storm worked. I don't know, the hospital's nothing today, and he quickly brought the money in, and I paid them off in full. And here a few years later, I own my home and all, and I don't owe anybody anything, and I owed everything. So what I'm telling you, even in when it came to my house payment, there was at times when, I mean, I went through and they done give me a quick foreclosure. Get out. They going to sell it quick, and whatever's left, you're going to pay it if it don't bring what you owe. That was my option other than Jesus. But how many knows he's more real than what you hear? So I went back to the scripture where Jesus said, see, in that storm, where Jesus said, no man has left father and mother. That's why I teach that we've got to be faithful to the Lord. He rewards faithfulness and diligence out of us. Not that we're perfect, but just faithfulness. We be faithful to honor him. Honor him. Be faithful as you can in the things. Be faithful. I tried my best to be faithful as a father. Not just to be a daddy. Anybody can be a daddy. But a father's different than a daddy. With my grandkids, you know, to share with them the gospel. I share it all the time. I tell Aubrey all the time, and Aiden, God has been good to you. God is good to you. God will come through for you. I told her the other day, I said, I know you're not interested too much right now in boyfriends. I said, that's okay. I said, but Papa's already ahead of you. I'm believing for the man that God wants in your life, not just throwing her out there to try to find him. try to find him. We get along good. All of that don't matter. What matters is the will of God. So I'm ahead of the game. Trusting when that storm comes in the time with my grandkids, my grandson and my granddaughter, that storm will not take them the way of the world. It will not trip them and trick them, hallelujah. And I'm believing for yours. But see, if we're not steady in the storm, we are the helm of our family, us men and women. We're driving, in other words. I could shatter this church right now by quitting. I could have took some of the storms I went through when I didn't have the money to come here, even by gas. I drove by faith. I'm talking about past empty for a lot of services with no money. And I told the Lord, I said, let me just tell the church, you know, they'll take an offering up and they'll help me. And the Lord just reminded me, I thought you was in faith. I thought you were trusting me. I thought you had faith in me. See, that storm right there caused me to realize I do, but I was just saying, Lord, you know, they would, and it would be easier if I had $5. Whoo! But you know what? He told me don't tell them nothing. I come to this church and none of y'all knew none of that at that point in my life. I thought, man, it sure is hard to preach faith when you're having to walk it. It was hard to get up here and say, God will come through for you, Monty. I mean, he's faithful. I mean, you'll lack nothing. The Lord is your shepherd. Do you know what that took? Faith. To get up here and preach that Bible like it is true when it's not happening in your life. That's faith. When you believe that Bible to be true and you can't see it and you can't feel it in your marriage, in your finances, in your body. Hallelujah. So let the storm take you. The Bible says in Psalms, put that Psalms up there, Travis. And I knew the scripture. He said, blessed be the Lord, who how often loads you up with benefits. Every day. See, from a time even before I was going to have open heart, I'm in better shape today than I was for 5 or 6 years before I had open heart surgery. That is wonderful. I mean, I'm in better shape than I was for 10 years before I had open heart surgery. You know, that was God daily. God was saying, I know this storm's coming ahead of you. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I know everything in between. And he's given us his word and his promises to trust him and build him into our heart. Even we would go and to the death for Jesus Christ. Now he has to do that supernaturally. Because I thought about it one time. I thought, man, God, how did you give Jesus your only son? How did you do it? You gave your only son on the cross. And then I thought about Abraham. Man, God told him to, I want your son as a sacrifice. That was pointing to Jesus. You know, and he literally packed the wood and all of that and went up on a mountain and tied his son to an altar and going to kill him. And I tried to bring my mind to my son doing that. And I thought, man, I don't know how Abraham did it. I might could tie him down there. And I could draw the knife back, but Lord, I just don't know if I could stab him with a knife and sacrifice him. And then I thought, but he didn't have to. He was willing. God sent a sacrifice. He sent a sacrifice, a lamb in there. That really happened to Abraham. But see, Abraham believed God. Abraham was able to believe because he said, out of your seed shall all the your descendants shall all the earth be blessed. And he knew that this one, he had to come through this son. So he believed that God would raise him from the dead if he needed to. See, faith believes what is impossible. Faith believes it can happen. And I believe it can too. Some of you might be in storms. I'm telling you right now, God's bringing a breakthrough to you. He's bringing a breakthrough. The Word of God's attacked more in the last 5 years, but it's coming back in a major way right now. Over the last 2 years, God has begun to open doors and free Christianity so we can serve Him and talk about Him. They mentioned Jesus Christ in the White House. That's not happened for a lot of years. They mentioned God. And you mentioned God to Buddhists over there. Buddha's their God. They call Him God. Allah is their God. But they mention Jesus Christ now in the White House like it's normal, and it should be, because God is bringing a breakthrough to His people, praise God. But Psalm 60, he says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads you up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So I want you to know, God wants you steady in the storm. Am I perfect at it? Nah. I have to repent. See, you got entrepreneurs, you got business people, and that God's anointing and raising up to finance the kingdom and buy buildings and ministries and help orphans over there, praise the Lord, and all of that. So Satan knows all that. So he strategically tries to keep you not steady in the storm, keeping your eyes, trying to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Give me that James 1, Travis. I want to bring this one up because it's really a major deal. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Slow to anger. You know, that was one of my big issues when I got saved, before I got saved. It didn't take nothing to make me mad, and I'd done some stupid stuff, you know, and come over here in the kingdom and Satan wanted me to be that way as a Christian. You know, he didn't mind me getting born again. Just don't change and become like Jesus. You know, just get born again to stay angry. You know, get born again, you're going to heaven. You know, stay mad, stay upset, you know. But the Bible says for us not to let the sun go down upon our anger. And the Bible says you can be angry, but don't sin. Don't yield to it. But anger destroys marriages. I'm telling you, anger, you get bitter. You get bitter at your mate and you will do and say things you never would have ever, ever done. You get bitter at them. You get mad. When you're angry at somebody, you can't see nothing good they do. All you can see is their faults and what you perceive how things are. See, anger kills. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it try to work in mine. I'm talking about more than once. Get me angry at my mate so that I will just quit. Quit on marriage, you know. Just get angry. Go tear stuff up like you used to, just, you know, and all of that stuff. But how many knows we have a different spirit. We have the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That don't mean you can't yield to it. Anybody can yield to it anytime they want to, anger and unforgiveness. That's why you can't hold grudges. That's anger. That's part of anger. You know, don't hold grudges. You know, you got to forgive everyone that has ever done you wrong. Forgive them. I'm talking about however long it takes you to feel it, do it, and when it comes up, say, nope, I forgave them. Nope, I forgave them. And then if it keeps on, go bless them somehow. Go bless them. The Bible says, bless your enemy. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Give me that Proverbs 25 while I read this. Anger destroys relationships. I mean, you know, somebody, you get mad at a brother or sister or uncle or aunt or something like that, you can't go eat hot dogs and stuff with them anymore. Go fish and enjoy with it anymore. You've took on anger. You've got anger. You've got resentment and all of that. You can't enjoy them. And you know what? An angry person is not a satisfied person. An angry person really is selfish. It's selfishness is where it comes from. It comes out of self. You know, what about me, how I feel, and all of that stuff, you know. And it causes you to do things and say things that to destroy, and then later on realize, man, that took a lot from me. I've done it. Travis, I gave him a part of the business. I've been in business 30-something years. Lord led me into business, and I've been in business a long time. But anyways, when he got married, I guess it's been 15 years ago, the Lord spoke to him, and he said, I want you to give him this part of the business. I was paying him by the hour, and so I gave him, I did. I couldn't see how I could do it because, I mean, at that time, you know, it was not a good time to give up. Just bam, and that part's gone, you know. But out of obedience, I went on and did it, you know, and years rocked on, you know. And this guy, you know, 15, 16 years later, he's just same old, you know. He's a good guy and all, but he worries. He worries and then he worries and then tries to put that. So anyhow, I come to the point to where I got angry. And I told Travis, I said, I'm done. I'm absolutely done with him. I'm getting rid of him. We're getting rid of him, you know. And had it not been for Travis, you know, having some mercy when I thought he would jump on board with me, you know, and let's do it, you know, he was having mercy on the dude. See, Travis wasn't yielding to anger. And so later on I thought, man, that could have worked against his whole family. My anger, my not liking what this does to me and this pressure puts on to me, Satan used it and I yielded to anger. I yielded to it. And because of that, I was fixing to make choices that would hurt him and his family financially. You know, out of how, see what I'm saying? It ruins businesses. It ruins relationships. Just like when I deal with companies when things are not going good, I don't call and deal with them with anger. You know, they jack up everything, send the wrong stuff, don't send the stuff. And I've been on that side of the track where I would come unglued and I would load it all back up and ship it back. Out, you know, anger. And because of that, they feared and caused them really didn't want to have to deal with me. But once I realized, I thought, man, this is trying to ruin my business. This is trying to ruin my business. So I started working on, how many knows we have self-control? Look at this right here. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That means if I'm yielding to anger, I'm not in control. If I'm yielding to fear, like Monty taught us, I'm not in control. I'm giving the devil place. So I want to encourage you, you know, stay steady in the storm. That's going to stick out to you. The Holy Spirit uses that. You'll get the storm, you'll be like, steady in the storm. That's not me. I didn't come up with that. The Lord gave me the title to it back 15 years ago, 12. And the title it helps me at times. I'll get in a storm, you know, maybe marital. You're going to have, and you know what? Even y'all that had bad marriages, you know, don't spread that to your kids and grandkids just because you suffered loss and you went through and it didn't turn out. Don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. Get wiser. You know, and point the ones. I mean, I hear people tell them, just stay single. Marriage is not for everybody. Well, not according to the Word. That's exactly what God said. You know, so be biblical, and even don't spread the bitterness of your storm to the ones under you or behind you, the ladies, the guys, you know. I could go and tell Aubrey and Aiden, don't get married. Good Lord. If it's anything like people I know, it's gonna be hard for you to stay. No, I don't tell them that. I say, ma'am, if you're in the will of God and you keep God centered and praise God, hallelujah, then you build a life together. That's what I tell them. And it would be. But he says, see, anger yielded to brings nothing but trouble. That's all. Brings nothing but trouble. So I want to encourage you, stay steady in the storm. You know what? Prepare yourself for storms. The world brings storms. Sometimes the enemy brings spiritual storms, bombards your mind with thoughts and all of that. That's why you have the Word of God and you have the promises of God to help you stay steady in the storm till your breakthrough comes. And some of you, you know, you're in a storm, your breakthrough will come. It'll come, hallelujah. You just keep trusting God and believing God. Stay out of fear like Monty taught us. Stay out of anger, praise the Lord, and God will bring you through and he'll bring a breakthrough to you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you today, Father. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you give us many examples in the Word of God to stay steady in the storm, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, that we look to you. We may be going through, just like Psalms 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Lord, we don't camp out in there. We might be going through a storm. We might go through storms, but Father, you are faithful. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that signs, wonders, and miracles will happen, Father God. Financial breakthroughs, spiritual breakthroughs, Father. I thank you, Father God, for everyone here and all those listening all over the world, Father God. And if you're out there wayward with the Lord, give your heart to him. Get committed. The Bible says those that are planted in the house, find you a church. Start the church. Go back to church. Hallelujah. Don't let the storms of this life come and be without the help and hope of Jesus and the power of God in it. Find you a Bible-based church. If you're lost today, Jesus died for you. Give your heart to the Lord. Your heart. Just bow your heart to him and ask him to come into your life. Praise God and receive him. And Father, we just praise you. Is anybody here today you want prayer before we dismiss? Anybody need prayer? Want prayer? Come on, if you want prayer.